think I've got it labeled backwards. Now, this is channel one right. This has to be channel one right because it goes the whole length of this reel, and then on channel one over is a short part. And I've got it backwards. I've labeled it backwards. And then it's the next one you see on channel two, I've got it the other way around. Now, this has to be channel one right. It's all here. It's all here. This, it's all here. Channel one right. It's all here. Monday after supper, the 28th of June, 71. Monday after supper, the 28th of June, 71. Monday after supper, 28th of June, 71. Channel 1 right.
Good. Well, it won't long just stand.
Well, no, I wouldn't bother. We just
won't,
do it.
It won't as long
yeah.
as just stand.
No, we'll just do it.
Listen, I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to be sure and come when the week that the Chuck Wagon game's on. Now, they is the one that sings all those songs we used to sing about 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, all along in there.
Yeah. Well, now, what is, how do you know when that's going to be on?
It comes on day Saturday, but see, we are a little too late getting it on. And,
you mean this is a Chuck Wagon?
No, I don't know whether they're on this week or not.
Oh, I see. Not on every week.
No, they have different singers from a lot of different places. Not just one singer sings every night.
Yeah.
They sing for about a week. See, they sell these records, you know.
Well, that's the name of the group.
Yeah.
The Chuck Wagon.
Yeah, the Chuck Wagon is the name of that of the directors. That's the name of it. Is it like they've got several different ones sang over
yeah.
classes, you know. And you take Spears, I've heard them sing, I've seen them sing in person.
Oh yeah.
I don't remember for sure where that the Chuck Wagon gang, I guess it was singing in Tennessee when I was up there. I stayed. I went up one Christmas, spent Christmas up there, you know, and I liked it pretty well, and came back, stayed at home about a week or two, and I went back up there.
Yeah.
And I stayed about 8 months up there then.
Up at Lawrenceburg.
Around and over at Wayne County. I stayed over at Collinswood most of the time and worked in a sawmill.
Yeah.
$17.50 a month.
Well, let's see now. Where is Collinswood, Mr.?
Well, do you know where most of the shows in Florence,
sure.
Alabama, and
yeah.
all in there?
Yeah.
Well, you go right straight north, right on towards Nashville.
I see.
Right up, and you go, you first cross over in some smaller town,
I
then
see.
You come into Loretta.
Yeah.
And I had quite a few relatives out around Loretta.
Oh, did you?
And so I had one, Weaver lived at Leoma, up there right at 5 miles Lawrenceburg. You know where Lawrenceburg is? It's
yeah.
pretty good sized town.
Yeah.
Well, you see, Waynesburg is in Wayne County, just west of that, directly west of Lawrenceburg.
Lawrenceburg, yeah.
And I stayed there a while and I couldn't find any work. Then I went over to visit a cousin over there, and this fellow wanted somebody to cut timber for him. Well, I'd been cutting timber and I was wanting to learn the sawmill business, and I went ahead and went to work for him. $17.50 a month. $17 a month.
And board.
Yeah, got board.
Oh.
Sun up to sundown.
Yeah.
In the summertime.
3 meals a day.
Yeah, but boy, it was plenty of everything. Nobody went away hungry from that
yeah.
table.
Yeah.
He was a worker, too.
Yeah.
You know, I used to get a kick out of going out and working because I was used to it all my life. You know, it didn't hurt me either. To go and work.
Yeah.
And my cousin told me, he says, now you out to work, says that's the workingest man in the state of Tennessee.
Yeah.
You gonna go to work for.
Well, he warned you.
Well, I didn't tell him. I'd been cutting timber down in Alabama, you know, for my friends there, you see. And so that I says, I'll go over there and take it. He said, now you like to work, you get over there. And see, a lot of people, boy, that way out won't work. I went over there, and this is kind of funny to me, you see. I was used to cutting timber, and they wasn't.
Yeah.
And I could file a saw just as good as anybody could file one. So that I followed the saw that morning, the first thing. It wasn't foul, wasn't right, and set it and everything, cut the drags down and fixed it real good. And the man I was working for went out to try me out to see if I'd work. We got out there, you know, and he pulled the saw and I pulled it too. Well, I could tell it was hurting him, wasn't it? It wasn't me, because I was used to it.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of difference too, I'm not kidding you. So that
but he's pulling it pretty lively.
He is pulling it lively. Well, about I reckon son is about an hour high, a little over, you know, about 2 hours high.
Yeah.
He says, let's sit down and rest a minute. I said, okay, and we said, I didn't let him sit there for a few minutes. I says, we better get up and go to work. I says, all right, we can get this tree in, we can get this other one, we can get this other one over here, and we get this sawed up. We'd cut that one down, that's all it does. I was getting pulled out three or four big trees for us to cut down, you know. Well, you take cutting oak, you know, we don't cut fast like pine.
Yeah.
So that we got it. We went ahead and cut it, and we cut that tree up, you know, and he just, if you sit down there a little bit, he was just ready to quit, you know. And we did finish sawing that enough. I picked the tools up and I said, well, let's come on out here and get these other three right quick. There'll be quitting time then, the time we get that. He said, I'm tired, let's go home. He said, we've done enough today. The next morning, no, he first sent his best man out with me, and then the next one, he said, I'll go out with him. I heard him talking, you know.
Yeah.
They didn't know I heard it, you see. And I laughed when he said that. I said, well, he'd be soft, too. I said, he's not used to it. I said, ain't nobody, I can't do it, and nobody else can stand it like you can if you're used to it.
Yeah.
And so come in, he laughed and says, how'd you come out? He says, he didn't look care out of me. And we worked that way all the time. Didn't matter who come in there working, you know. We worked, and if we needed two or three to saw, you know, and we had the men,
yeah,
I'd do the saw filing and figuring out and marking all the logs, you see, and just cutting the bill stuff part of the time, and you had to look at the tree and tell what they could cut out of it and what length to put it.
And I'll say that again.
You had to look at the tree and figure what you could cut out of it if you cut that and get any boards out of that.
Yeah.
And the size of the tree, and you go, then look at your bill, what you cut it and cut the length, and I had to mark on the end of every log what it was. Well, there wasn't but two of us out there. You see, I had to do all that marking. I did most of the notching and trimming up, too. And of course, Hammond was the least of any of it, and I'd let them do that, because most of them hadn't had the experience I had in it, and I'd notch the tree to fall it like I wanted it to keep them doing any damage, you see, and getting in the way,
yeah,
and before it could get out. You got to figure all of that in it with it, too, so that
that's right.
I'd let them do the hammering, you see. That's, you know, if we went to pinching or anything, or we wanted to saw it and had to raise it up a little bit to make it go and miss certain things. And it's easier to do the hammer than it was to do the notching trimming up. And I'd do that, you see, and I'd done all the laying off and marking that, the length that it wanted it.
Well, now the hammering, that's, you take your chisel and put in there?
Take the iron wedge.
Your wedge, I mean.
Take the wedge and put in there, and then have the hammer. We, a lot of times we made them out of, made the best thing to use was a maul made, cut a hickory down about that large around,
yeah,
and cut it down, make your handle on that there, and cut it down straight and let it be about that long. That's the best thing to use to maul with. It's better than a steel, but we use steel part of the time. It's better up your wedges and get to where it mess them up using a steel hammer. You know, like you using blacksmith shop, those,
yeah,
big old hammers they had, we used those,
and
too.
And more, you can make you another one.
Well, make another one, and it didn't hurt the wedge, and didn't hurt anything.
Yeah.
And there's really, that's really the best thing to use, but it takes you, it don't take too long to make them all. And so you just saw down in it there, so where you're going to stop at and leave that main, all that body of the tree right there, that you cut your handle down about 2 inches or 1 3/4 inches all around on that handle, and that makes a good mold. You see, it's gold, gold in, it's made in with a mold.
Yeah.
You don't have to put it in there, you don't have no trouble. Maybe you're sometimes hit too hard or hit wrong and break it, you will eventually break it.
If you hit wrong, that's worse.
If you hit right on the end of it, or right at that back at that back end of it, if you hit the center, you'll never do it any damage.
Yeah.
But you'll wear that mold come in there, and you'll have to make another. But those steel hammers we use, they're just stoning on, but they get a wedges, running wedges bad.
Are you notching? You just did that with the axe?
Notching, yeah. Notching, I just cut the notch to let the tree make it fall the way I want it to. That's what it's called notching, you see. And
Do you saw into it first?
Well, you can do that, but I could use axe pretty good. I'd cut in, I cut about as quick as I could from sawing it and then changing tools, you know.
I
just take the axe and didn't have to notch it. Some of them didn't have to notch them very much. If you didn't notch them, some of them would split up, you know, on us and damage the timber, you see.
Oh, yeah.
And you had to notch a little below where you was going to cut, so it would break off, you know, when it got to that, and wouldn't split the tree.
Well, I hadn't thought of that.
You have to watch that. If you come in at the same place, it may split, and it catches over here, it may make it split out and run your material.
Yeah.
And oak timber, we was cutting up there in Tennessee, there's good oak.
Yeah.
But I worked a while over at another mill that they right down in a big holler. That was just north of Collinswood, and this about 7 or 8 miles. We went right down the holler to that from Collinswood from town. And see, they had cut a lot of pup wood in there. About making, they had it cut out a lot of that timber out, especially the red oak, and they cut quite a bit of that all through in there and had it racked up. And it had to be 4 feet high and 8 feet long. And they called it a cord. And it's cord wood, they called it when it's cutting cord wood.
Yeah.
Not pup wood. Pup wood is the way we cut pine down here, but that was cord wood there in Tennessee. And that was interesting, but the cord wood mill, they got so much cut, they went down, went broke, and went out of business.
And when you was cutting these oaks down, and you had to put it out there where it wouldn't get in your way.
We had to, you could fall it, then you could fall some of the logs across it, and then make it be up so you could saw it good. And these wouldn't have to use a hammer.
Right.
There's a lot of a lot more to cutting timber and being a woods foreman than it looked like it would be.
Yeah.
But I'd work through the summer around down there in Alabama with my friends, you know, and cut timber for them, and that's where I made my money, you know. And so after it finished your crop, until it got ready to gather, then I'd have to quit and go and gather the crop, you know.
Yeah.
Then in the winter, if I wasn't doing something else, I could go back and work something else. It's nice to help me out, you know. But I worked. I didn't play with it.
Well, now, did they keep going 12 months a year?
Yeah. But sometimes they didn't have enough hands, you see.
Yeah.
See, I'd have to quit then because I farmed back at that time. I farmed 5 years for myself, except in through the winter, you know, starting about 1st of March, you know, when I started.
I didn't realize that. You mean after you left your daddy, you farmed 5 years for yourself?
Yeah.
Had your own place?
I'd leased land and rented it.
Yeah, rented it.
And farmed to myself. If I was 20 years old, well, I was 21 in March next spring, and I went to work in the fall to myself. I told Daddy, I said, if you'll let me go now and be satisfied, you can have everything. And I said, I won't ever ask you for a penny. And I go to work for myself now. He wanted me to work on him, but he was getting all the money, you know.
Yeah.
I'd worked long enough, from 8 years old till I was 20.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd done enough for the family.
Well, now, when you took this land that you rented, what did you farmed it on shares?
No, well, yeah, I used some of my daddy's land. He didn't need it all when I quit working for it on the farm. They didn't need all the land they had. And I leased some company land now, you see, and I'd cultivate about 30 acres a year by myself.
Yeah.
And you take that, what got me, I'd always plowed all my life, and I wasn't as good with the hoes. But I done my own hoeing the first year, a couple of years, then I got the hoeing, and a lot of that done. You see, I go to town and work on Saturdays in the barbershop and hire me a hand all the week for what I'd make in the barbershop.
Yeah.
So that helped me a whole lot, you know.
You couldn't afford the hoe, could you?
Well, I did a whole lot of great deal of myself, you know, because I was paying 2.5 a day for the hands that I was hiring.
2.5 a day?
Yeah. For the hands I'm hard. But I tell you, I didn't have to stay down and tell them what to do either.
Well, I didn't know anybody got that much.
Well, I paid more than anybody else around there because I wanted the best hands and they're the cheapest. You pay them and go out there and they don't work, by the way, you lose money. You can't. And if you have to stay down and watch them and keep them to work and show them how, You may as well do it yourself.
You might as well do it yourself.
That's the way I did. And I'd tell them, I didn't fire nobody. I told them, I said, I don't fire nobody. I said, you fire yourself. I said, I'll go out there and show you what I want done if you can do it. I said, I won't get mad and I won't fuss at you about it. I said, if you can't do it, you can't help
it. Now, that's when you went to these singing
school. Oh, yeah, I'd been going for five or six years then, before I was 21. I started about 14, 15 years old, saying that.
Yeah. Well, now, let me see, Mr. Weaver. When did it happen? Just in the summertime?
Well, the summertime. See, in the wintertime, if you sung, of course, you could sing you could be in a house, and like it's insulated now, it doesn't make any difference which when you sing. Like singing over radio now, but we didn't have that. And in a church house, you got cold or had a cold, and could contract cold very easy in the winter, it'd run your voice. And if you have just a least bit of cold, you better not sing. You're first thing you know, you can't sing nothing.
Well, you got all the spring and the fall.
Yeah, we started long in April most of the time. In May is when we really went to singing and sang all summer.
When the weather got warm.
Yeah, when the weather got warm, you see, and wasn't so bad to go out, you know. And you had to go some little distance to sing. I know a friend of mine, he taught music, and I went to school to him quite a bit. Well, he'd get some of us to go with him around when he'd help him sing where he wanted his figuring on teaching and getting to school to teach. And he picked out a few of us, about four of us, he had a car and he'd take us in the car and we'd sing and help him get to school, you know, in different places, you see. That helped him out, that helped us too. We got to go
then
and
he'd
to
have, then he'd have that school.
Then he'd teach school right then.
Yeah.
How about you've been to him, haven't you?
Yes, and then he could have any singing on there he wanted.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, on Sunday. When do you sing?
We all the week when it's a singing school, from 8 o'clock till 5 in the afternoon. Took off just like we go to singing at 8 o'clock in the morning, and studying music. You see,
yeah.
We had. So many songs we had to sing every day, you know. And
you had to learn them.
We practiced on them, and when at the end of the school, you know, mankind, there'd be people come from, I don't know, 25 and 30 miles sometimes, still singing.
Well, now
at
that's
the end
it.
Of the school.
That's it. Now, when he got that school, Mr. Weaver, at the end of school, he had to have some singing, didn't he?
Yeah, you couldn't. The yards would be full and standing all around and never seat in all the churches. And they had large churches up there. They had large in Tennessee before I was up there, too.
Yeah.
I sung when I was up there in Tennessee. I never say nothing much about it because someone asked me to sing now. I couldn't sing three notes now.
Well, Well, now, these would be just the grown people.
No children. We had little children started singing and like that. And you
in the school.
In the school, and I'll tell you some of them could sing alto, and where the alto took the lead. See, we had two little girls ride the song, went singing alto about that high. Boy, they're sitting over on the bench when it comes to them to do the lead, their part led, and nobody else sung with them, you know. Man, those little kids could sing that alto.
Yeah.
They're like grown people.
Yeah.
You see, you learn quicker, you start, easier it is you learn. And now, a lot of people don't believe that.
And then they don't notice it. They don't get stage fright.
And when you're in school.
See, you got stage fright. You said you did.
Beg your pardon?
You got stage fright.
Yeah, sometimes. And that is the worst thing. It takes me. I wouldn't get over it maybe till the next day, you see.
Yeah.
And see, I never tremble. I never tremble. And I'd be up there, I'd be a singing, and I just felt like I was shaking the house down.
Well, now,
and that's a stage fright.
Yeah, at the end of school now, when he had
usually when I was going to school, you know, that didn't bother me.
No, I'm talking about this man where you went over there, and he got to school.
Uh-huh.
Now at the end of the school, then they just sing.
Oh yeah, well they'd sing all day the last day.
All
and
day.
Then none
the
of them studied the last
oh.
day. All day long. And there'd be people, lots of people from different places come in and sing. I'd be there at that thing and hear it, you know.
And they was the pupils.
Well, part of them was, but part of them wasn't. You see, there'd be people that come from a long ways as good singers and sing that last day with us and help us.
They'd sing with us.
Yeah, and they'd maybe bring a quartet with them and sing.
Yes.
Well, we always had a quartet too, you see.
Yeah.
And we'd sing quartets and between times, between when the whole class was singing.
Well, the whole class could
everybody,
sing.
The whole house, as anybody was welcome to sing that last day.
Yeah.
Well, they could come in and visit and sing in any time they wanted to. See, it was more free than it is today, you know. You've got to be now just exactly like the people want you now to
yeah.
go and sing.
Well, now,
but then, we invited everybody. In
yes, and then the whole class would sing.
Just as soon as the singer come and walked in the door right away, they called him up and had him come over. And if he was a tenor singer, they'd tell him where the tenor needs to walk over and sit down in that class. And right up there on the front.
Yeah.
And his name would be put down that day, you know, to say get up and sing three songs.
Yeah.
And that's where they caught me in Tennessee, you know. I didn't think anybody tell it on me up there, you know, and say anything about it. You know, we were singing down in Alabama. And it kind of caught me, you see, and I wasn't used to the song books and songs. I went over once or twice, looked over once or twice, and if I'd have got stage shocked, that didn't bother me so bad. I took sight singing, you see.
Yeah.
Just take up a song book and go to sing it if I'd never seen it, you see.
Yeah.
But I sung tenor most all the time. Because
yeah.
we had three right there that went to school with us practice all the time, was extra good tenor singers. And we'd go to these big classes, we'd go way off to different places, and we'd get together and sing tenor.
Have they last a week or more than that?
This is the day. Whole day.
Yeah, well, I mean, that'd be the last day of the school,
yeah,
the last 2 weeks,
school.
Week and 2 weeks.
They last
just
two
like
weeks.
You was going to school back at that time. You
uh-huh.
went, you, when we went to school then, we had to be there at 8 o'clock. If we was
yeah.
3 or 4 miles from home, we walked 3 or 4 miles and we had to be there. Didn't know how
well,
cold
on
it was.
On your class day, I'm trying to stop it on one thing, see?
Uh-huh.
On your class day, now you sang all day, and then...
The last day of
the
last
school.
Day. Yeah.
And they'd come in...
Just like
you'd give a place.
They'd come in, we'd invite them, come in and sing with us.
Yeah.
But when
and now sometimes just a few of them would sing, or a quartet would sing, and sometimes the whole shebang would
yeah.
sing.
Yeah. Just sing quartet. Sometimes we had some trained to sing duets, some sung a solo.
Yeah.
And then everybody would sing. Then this class, called a class, you know, everybody sung that at the class.
Yeah.
Visitors and all, we'd invite them, they'd come in. Of course, we went all for where there's somebody else teaching school. Well, somewhere we went over there. Well, they invited us up. Well, have us to say
that. I don't quite get the class. Does that mean that?
That means everybody that's in there that sings.
Yeah.
Is singing in the, as called a class.
Yeah.
One is a solo. Two is a duet. Three is a trio.
Yeah.
And four is a quartet.
Yeah.
Six is a...
whatever it is. And then the whole shebang is a class.
Six is a... Six... maybe I'll speak it directly. Six tet. I can speak quite text. See, I can speak it plain then, you know, talk.
And then you have the whole class.
Well, then we'd mix it in, you see. And now down here, I don't know if I'll find out where that they are. If they are still singing down in here, we'll run down there someday. They have big dinners and everything, big tables set. It's not like going around and resting and eating.
It took a right smart to make the arrangements, too, and get the food out there, didn't it?
Yes, sir. There's a lot of work done to that.
And this would be done on that last day.
Yeah, we'd have a big dinner that last day.
Yeah.
And on Sundays, we have those big singing conventions on Sundays, you know. If everybody come from different counties, there'd be several different counties of singers that come to them.
Yeah.
And you take up our third Sunday in May. Well, I don't know how many goes to Old Union Church up there. It's an old Primitive Baptist church.
Yeah.
And
Third Sunday in May.
Third Sunday in May, and I've been missing it for several years, and I've been going up. I went up there a long time, ever.
You mean after you've been, after you come
back?
Yeah,
I'd go up, I'd stay, I'd go up and visit my father and mother, you see.
Yeah.
And my sister and brother-in-laws and all them.
And you'd be there the third Sunday in May?
Yeah, I'd try to be there the first Sunday in May at Old Sardis up there in Winston County. And third Sunday in May is at Old Union down there in Walker County, before we'd moved from that church up there down there.
Yeah.
Well, I remember going to the Sunday school when I was about 6 years old, 5 or 6 years old. I had to walk 4 miles now. And went to Sunday school, and I remember my little Sunday school card they gave me, and Christ's pictures on it, you know, and I went home. I was so proud to get the cat at home, sure, to mother and dad. I never did. That's one thing I never have forgotten. No matter what happened.
Yeah.
I still remember that, just like us today.
Sunday school card.
Just a little Sunday school.
On one side, and the verse. And
the verse and all that on there that you studied. They give, by the way, children to all of them like that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
If you start going to church and Sunday school or going to something like that, it's better than going to baseball if I have played on Sunday. I know that. I fox hunted on Sunday. That isn't good to do that. You're supposed to, it's best to take one day off and rest.
Yeah.
And go and worship. You don't have to worship the same church. Everyone else is going to the same place, but you don't have to be... see everything just like I do, and I don't like you do.
Yeah.
But we can go ahead and work together. You know?
When did they sort of let up on that singing, Mr. Weaver?
Well, they have never sang on here on just a church.
Yeah.
Around here and
down
and
here, lots, they never lot, did.
And in Lake City and up in there and back the other side of this side of Lake City and. In Walker County, there's some singers up there, and they go up in there and sing great deal. I never did get to going up there, but I did go down here to all these other big singers. So when there's all the state people come from all over the state to those singing, and singing for a band, and you know, listening to those classes, they'd practice every night and every day, you know, and every fifth Sunday they had it down there somewhere. And had judges too. I mean, see who was the best, who had the best class there. That makes everybody work hard and try to learn and do something.
Yeah,
it's just like crossfitting in school. I always did think that was about one of the best things that ever happened in school.
Yeah, you had to get up before, didn't
you? Yeah, that learned you to be standing up, you know, and it helped you about moving around and helped you in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
And
but they don't have these things now.
Not around here, but they still have them up there. And in Tennessee, they still have them up there around
as
in
much
there.
As they ever almost.
And now, you can go back up in there, and all those places still have those. They still have conventions. I don't know where. Well, the last time I was up there, of course, after I got sick, you know, I couldn't go back. I couldn't drive up there. See, I'm afraid to drive up there now.
Mr. Weaver, the down here, they've got all these horse shows.
Well, they're getting too much, and it's to make money.
Yeah.
You see, that wasn't to make money back then, you see. The preachers back at that time, you know, the old primitive Baptist wouldn't take any.
They
couldn't
take any money.
No, you remember that, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, they wouldn't take any money. It's all, but people would give them things, you know, and if you had more, people would see that if they needed help, that they got it, you know.
Yeah.
Well, those preachers would help anybody in the whole country there. Give them to them. Give them things, you know, if they needed it. And I don't believe anybody ever lost anything by giving it.
Yeah.
Of course, now you can't do those things. I don't guess they can do that like now up there, even like they could back when I lived up there.
Did you run across any fellas that were just downright poor and didn't have enough to eat?
Oh, we not too much, because people usually found out if they're sick and didn't have nothing, somebody'd always help them till they get on the feet. But back at that time, it was a shame and disgrace if you didn't work up there.
Yeah.
And if you was crooked or stole anything up there, nobody had not anything to do with you. Not one thing to do with you if you was crooked or stole anything.
Well, now, some sections of the country, you see, if they go on and stretch yourself, some sections of the country would be sort of wore out. And the land would, be eroded, like they said. And they'd raise that old bumblebee cotton. And they couldn't hardly raise a family on that.
Well, there'd be somebody, but they'd take up church people then and take up collection and help people if they worked and tried to do, you know. But if they wouldn't work and wouldn't help themselves, they wouldn't help them so much. But like someone that somebody in the family got sick and they had to look after them and they couldn't get out there and work, like one of you all got sick and you had to, they had to stay and wait on you, first thing you know, there'd be a crowd coming in there and they'd just work that crop out for you and fix it just and put you right back on your feet and you make a good crop, just the same. The church people done that.
You know, there was a lot to learn back there, wasn't there?
Well, I was coming up in it. It wasn't much for me, not so much, because I could see it going on when I was just a little fella before I could even go to church or anything.
But you see, you learned that sawmilling.
Well, they're plenty I can learn now, but I'm getting too old to learn much now.
And
there's plenty to learn.
Blacksmith.
Well,
did
I didn't
that?
Do any blacksmith very much, but what I did,
but
I
learned. You knew how?
I could fix some things now. I didn't practice on anything much.
Yeah.
When I came to Florida, I worked up here and helped a fellow in the blacksmith shop a little bit then. He needed a man, you know, to help him some there. And one day we had to go to Gainesville to get something, you know, and left me there. And here come a fellow with big. One of those big old mat trucks, you know how large it was back then, it's the whole log zone?
Oh, yeah.
Coming down, wanted some rings made to go in the wheels of that, you know, about a quarter of an inch rings, and wanted to be perfectly round and come together just right. I said, I don't know how to do that. They said, well, we got to have them. We got to go out tomorrow. We got to have them. I said, well, let's wait until Mr. Wicker comes in. I said, now, he knows how. They said, see, I said, well, I'll tell you what, you just go out there and do this. Go out there and take out one of those rings and let me see it. Let me look at that ring that he made.
Yeah.
I went back in there and I took my rule and measured around and marked it to see where you wanted it to come together, you see. And I bent that around there and fixed it you had to cut a degree on you. You couldn't cut a square. You had to cut a certain degree to make it go together. Then I had to weld that, and I wasn't a welder. But I'd watched him weld, you know, and I went ahead and welded that thing. I told him, I said, tell you what I'll do. I'll go ahead and make it. But Mr. Whitaker comes in tomorrow, come back by. If they don't hold up, I said, it won't cost you anything. And they kept them. The next time I come back in, I wasn't there, you see. And he told me, he says, hey, come back, won't you make some more? I said, like yours the best. Just luck, you know. That's just trying.
Yeah.
The reason I tell these things is around
I
people.
I can weld them, Mr.
What'd I say?
What, did you have a little welding stuff?
Yeah, little stuff to weld it. And I'd been watching other fellas weld, but I had never welded a thing in my life.
Well, what did you need to...
Oh, you had coal there and a forge.
Yeah.
Forge, you know what a forge is.
Yeah.
And you made it, got that hot. When you made it hot, then you went to bending your piece to come around and take the hammer, put around something round to make it, you see. And
then
keep
beat
on,
it in there.
And just keep on, you got it round. When you got it come together round over here, just like my fingers coming together that way, and it perfectly round, then go out there and put it in that truck, you see. That was, it was a round washer, what it was, but yeah, it wouldn't have been so bad, but I had to weld it, you see. I could figure the other pretty easy.
Yeah.
After I looked at it and seen it.
Yeah.
I'd always tried to fix little things myself, you know, and do little things, you see. Well, I was about 16, 17 years old, and we had these locks that you just, not mortise locks, just on that way, and springs broke in, and some of them slipped out.
Oh, yeah, those old flat locks.
Yeah. I said, you know, I'm going to fix those locks. I'm going to see if I can't fix them before we were going by in the morning, and
you know that spring was about the teeth swinging them old flat locks on there.
Yeah, you know that spring in there was a crooked round and weight. It was hard to get to measure on and figure it. Well, some of them spring is broke, and some of them slipped out, and those slipped out. I just put them back to the right place, you know. And there'd been a little piece of steel about a quarter of an inch. Somewhere like close to a quarter of an inch wide. It'd been around there ever since I was a kid. My grandfather, see, he was good in anything like that, but my father wasn't very good at it. And I says, I believe that steel's down there at the barn. If it's if I can find that, I says, I believe I can make those springs.
Yeah.
I went down there and measured them, and I had time to hold and not let it slip to get the right. And I measured and put in there, and when they sold the farm, those springs and locks are still working.
I don't know how you'd make a spring, Mr. Wheeler.
Well, you just got to start looking at this old spring, put it down there and look at it, and just keep bending it every way it was bent.
But
and
you got to get that.
Yeah, you had to.
Well, I never heard of it.
And you bend it that way. Well, all these people that does that kind of work can do that. But you see, I'm just a boy, and I hadn't...
Well, what did you start with?
What's that?
When you were making one, what did you start with?
I just took I had to take a coal chisel, didn't have a hacksaw then, and cut it off and take a file and file it towards like I wanted it to end. Then I measured how long I wanted it. Then, you see, it bend, but there's springs of crooks different ways, you see. You had to have one crook, put it, sometimes you'd have to have crook it right around, and very close to go right, fit right over something. The others would be crooked around in the middle, you see, and then these here would crook out different ways here. Well, I'd look at that spring, and I'd keep on making it, working with the chisel I got. That's spring just like I wanted. And when I got it like I wanted, I put it around in there, and man, it was strong. That was a good piece of steel.
Well, now, don't you know, yesterday I said to you, you know, I asked you about that that hammock. You just mentioned it in passing. When did you ever sit down and get your feet up?
Well, I've never been able to sleep as much as some people.
Yeah.
And I've often thought about what Shakespeare said about that. I believe it was Shakespeare, wasn't it? Says 5 hours good rest was worth more to a person than 8 in 12 hours, lying down in the bed and not resting.
Yeah. Getting up tired.
And I've never been able to sleep too long at the time. I always wake up. I can retire at 9 o'clock now, and I'll wake up about 2 or 3 o'clock. And I'll roll, and with my blood pressure not being in circulation like I am, I have to get up a lot of times in the night and sit up out. And that'll make my blood go to circulating better.
But now, it used to be, you'd go to bed at 9 and just sleep right straight through.
Oh, I'd go to sleep, you know. I'd be tired, and I'd come in after I'd eat, and I wouldn't need too much supper, did I? I'd roll all right, wouldn't rest any. And then next day, next morning, I couldn't eat breakfast. And I'd go out about 9 or 10 o'clock. I was so hungry, but I'd have to work on until 12 o'clock, you see.
Yeah.
And I noticed in physiology, and when I was reading it in school, you know, it said not to eat and go to bed.
Yeah.
And of course they don't let you be, if you ain't going to be a doctor now, they won't hardly let you study that subject, will they? Now see, I don't know. I don't know how they're running.
Yeah.
You don't get all the subjects. We had 9 a day.
Well, let me tell you, Mr. Uh-huh. This when you rest, you've got so many things on your schedule, you don't have time to rest.
Well, I don't do very much work now. I'll have to work a few hours.
Now
top.
I'm talking about all your.
You can't, when you run a business or anything like I was. I've been a great eagle my life, and you've got to get out and work. Now people don't work now. They don't work like they used
yeah.
to. Man, are you talking about 5 or 6 hours? Well, it would make me tired, even a bit tired back when I was young. Well, now if I was just getting a habit working 5 or 6 hours and quitting, you know, it'd probably work on me just like it does people today. But one thing, they don't take care of themselves,
yeah,
and you don't eat right.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about you. Now, you just don't sit down and rest.
Well,
never did, I mean. I'm not talking about right now. I mean when you were in good shape.
Well, I always had to get up because I got up at 4 o'clock, you know, every morning. I had to get up and feed horses and cattle every morning. See, we had a herd of cattle, and I looked after that and then be ready to start walking to school at 6 o'clock, you know, and eat breakfast. We had to get up 4 o'clock. Well,
now
my father...
all the time, after you got big enough, that was all the time you lived with your parents.
Yeah, and, I didn't get to go to school all the time. Sometimes, some years, I didn't get to go to school at all.
Not at all?
No, not any. And I never did get to go about 3 months at the time, 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
At the time, I had to quit and go back to go to the farm, you see.
Yeah.
I never did get to finish a year. But I'd pass my grades, you know, while I was in school. I didn't get to go any all the time, but I'd work till 12 o'clock at night so I could pass those grades, you know.
And I see on Saturday, you'd go in town and barber.
Well, I'd have to work myself. I didn't barber, go in town and work when I worked for Dad. I'd work there. He kept me busy till Saturday night on the farm.
Oh, did he?
Somebody.
6 days a week?
Well, you take there's 14 of us in the family.
Yeah.
And I was about middle of the boys, you see. Well, girls didn't work much then. They'd get out and maybe pick up a little trash or something, a hole a little bit sometimes, you know, and there's 5 girls.
Yeah.
And my oldest brother went to school and Buck went to school, you see, and nobody to help them, you see. They'd tell me I'd go to school later, you know, or they'd have to keep me out that day, you know, to work, you see. Well, that made it hard on me going to school. And made it harder, but after all, I got this good education. I learned I could go out there on the farm and run a business, and they couldn't. I had the experience, you know, and just like running a farm. I could run a farm but when I was 15 years old, better than a lot of people could.
Yeah.
It could have 25 years old.
But
cause
you
it
never
didn't
did
come.
Just sit down and rest.
Oh, all the time I would sit down is when I stopped at night and I'd go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes Only way I like to fox hunting sometimes is go fox hunting that night and come back and work the next day. They'd make it hard on me because I went hunting that night. Did I tell you all about me riding that cutaway Harley, you know, and it drove me, you know, I'd go to sleep the next day.
No.
I tried to get them to let me plow, and they wouldn't do it. I told that yesterday, but you didn't listen to that.
No, I missed that.
And, you see, if I said I wanted to do anything because I went hunting, that way they punished me and make me do the other.
Yeah.
And Buck, see, he wouldn't go hunting. He went to bed with the chickens, you know. And, well, I didn't care. I didn't sleep no way. I never was a long sleeper.
Yeah.
Of course, he'd get up early in the morning. He'd get up at 4 o'clock. He had to get out there and feed those hogs when he was home. But most of the time, he was off staying somewhere going to school. And
he got more education than you have?
Oh, yes. He finished Howard College and went to Peabody at Nashville. I didn't even get to. I don't like to tell it, but I've had so much experience. I've got better education than he has by working and getting experience with somebody. See, if I'd have went to school like they do now, well, they just go half a day now. But when I went to school, it was 8 to 4. We had 15 minutes recess at 9 o'clock, and 9:30 it was, and then we had an hour at noon. We got out and played ball. That's where I learned to play ball, you know.
Yeah.
With that hour, we'd get a few minutes at that 15 minutes. We played part of that.
Well, Buck never worked as much as you did then.
No, I guess.
After he went to school.
If I was 100 years old, I'd have my eight hours in. If I was 100 right now, I'd have my 8 hours in.
Yeah.
With hours that I put in long hours.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt me too much if I can get 5 hours rest. But when I get down to 2 and 3 hours, now I went to bed, paid my hotel bill and rest an hour and get up and go back to work when I was in the fur business. But that didn't last but 9 days, and I had to tend to that. And then,
you know,
if
most
I could,
people would like to, in the old days, they had a nice front porch and you got an easy chair out there, and people would just love to sit down there and get feet up, Mr. Weaver.
Yeah, we didn't have time to get our feet up. Not when farming is going on. Now, after we our crop was laid by, you know, there'd be we'd have a little break there, but we'd usually Buck and I, we'd get out and Daddy'd get out and get a job, you know. He'd take maybe a pair of mules, you know, and go out there and haul lumber for people. All right, we had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, winter or summer, you know, because if he was hauling lumber for some of these mills, you know, and Buck and I was working. Of course, Buck was in school so much. He didn't work the force as much as I did.
Yeah.
Not on the farm.
Well, what happened to you when you hunted all night and fell off, went to sleep on the air?
You see, when you get on level ground, you know, a little old growl and not making a little noise, you know, I'd be so sleepy, you see, and that's why I'd kind of go together, you see. And they'd hit a little old stick or rock or something, and I'd cut away. I'd go up this and I'd hit the ground over yonder. it was funny how it happened, you know.
Yeah.
But I didn't ever fall down there in among those weeds, because big pine mules pulling that going on fast, you see.
Yeah.
And he'd cut me all to pieces if I got tangled up in there.
Mr. Weaver,
he'd tell you if you where you went hunting or not.
Yeah.
What kind of house did you grow up in?
What kind of house? Well, we had, you know, we had one of these new L houses. You've seen the L house and the rooms and the hall going through the L and the kitchen back off here.
Yeah.
Just like a L. And we had a new L house. When we moved, see, the fella just had built it when we bought that farm down there in Walker County. And we had the first house, part of it was a big log house that my dad, when they first married, hewed out logs about that wide and 4 inches thick and come back down as clay. It was the first house that they built.
Yeah.
They didn't have lumber back at that time to build them. They built them out of log houses, you know.
Yeah.
And boy, they was warm, and I don't think they're good. And they'd stay there. I know this old house at this log part, then my uncle's put in a sawmill there.
And you started out in that old log house.
I was born in that log house. Born in that log house, and then my uncle's had a saw water mill. Grist mill, and they put in a sawmill there, and it was run by water.
Oh.
And is a big dam across a big Clear Creek. And we lived on Little Clear Creek, run into Big Clear Creek. And it's about 3 miles from there, and you see, he hauled lumber there, good hard pine, they had plenty of it there on the farm. You see, he had two farms in. I remember when he first bought the Turner place. But the other place, he built a house before we was born that, you know, right there on Little Clear Creek. And someone was asking me questions, you know, not long ago, and asked me about that. And I told him, I'd tell him about it, you know, where it was, you know. And...
Well, now, he didn't build the L house. He bought
it. He built it and borrowed money from one of my uncles and my aunt, and he wanted to sell it. You know, got to wanting to sell it, and my uncle didn't. He had plenty of houses, you know, and plenty. He didn't want it, and we went down there in Walker County and bought this. You see,
well,
I was about 12, 13 years old then. And
was it two story?
No, it was one story. And we added to it. We added to that. See, it was two bedrooms and the kitchen and dining room and a hall. Then we added to it when we moved down there.
Well, now, let's see. There in the front, on both sides of the hall, was there bedrooms?
Yeah, there's bedrooms. Uh-huh. And you see, back at that time, I didn't have living rooms like I do now, you see. Very few living rooms were built back at that time.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they built them large. They didn't build a little bitty runny houses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you could put two beds or four beds in one of those big, whole beds,
yeah.
If you wanted to.
That's right.
Of course, we never did put that many
did
in.
Did they all have a fireplace?
Two of them.
Two of them.
They were, but well, there's one built there, then my dad had one built to the other end of the house. And you know what they built them out of? There's a band that go out there in the rocks and dig them out and cut pieces to go from across that chimney there. Block it out 4 inches wide,
yeah.
Thick,
yeah.
And 12 inches wide, and he'd lay that up there and take lime and mortar that there, and you're talking about drawing that. And throwing he knew how to do it.
Yeah.
Well, Dad had him to put that to the house, and then we had some room, and the house's ceilings was high enough until I cut the stair steps and put in the stair steps I'd never seen in a build. And we fixed some bedrooms upstairs.
Oh, you did.
And we fixed two bedrooms upstairs there.
Yeah. So it was two.
Then I added one. One on the back side of the building. I added another bedroom around there. I did that myself. I cut those stair steps strangers. I'd never seen any cut. I'd have got tore up if I hadn't done a good job on it. I had nothing but a saw, square and a level. I may have had a rule, and I had to size that stuff. It was roughed up and planed it, dress it with a plane.
How'd you make it upstairs? Just because the ceiling was high?
The ceiling, well, we had room up there, you
see,
I told him that I was going to do that. I was going to fix that and put it up there, and he was going to get somebody else, supposed to get somebody else to cut those stringers, you see. But he had him out of Ashmont Hall, and he went to town, and I didn't have anything I had to do that day, you see, especially. So when he'd be going all day and come back, get back about 8 o'clock, he had to go 8 miles from the car off a load of stuff, you see, and he'd be about 8 o'clock and he'd get back at 9, you see. Just as soon as he left, we got up, he left about 6 o'clock, you know. I went out
where
there.
Where did you put your stringers, Mr.?
I put them out there in the hall.
Yeah.
And
raised your roof?
No, I didn't raise the roof. It was large enough until I could, and it's high enough up. See, the ceiling wasn't up like these low houses here, you see.
Yeah.
It's built, the ceiling was 8 feet high, but it was the house was up right smart high. It was about 3 or 4 feet higher than the ceiling was.
Yeah.
I
see.
Then you could add to them if you wanted to. See,
you had a pitch to the roof,
yeah.
So it'd give you a little narrow room.
And it was a 6-12 pitch. Well, I'd give it kind of like this, you know.
Yeah.
And it's 2 or 3 feet high on our edge here. And I just went up in it all over the whole house. It's a big large room,
yeah.
You see. 16 feet across that. Well, it wasn't no trouble to get a good bedroom up there.
Well, what'd you use for a window? Put it in the end?
They put it in the end up there. I cut it down and put it in myself.
Yeah.
And now, if you get down and figure, and I'd studied arithmetic so hard when I was in school, I remember how it said to do things. Mm-hmm. And I got there, and I got the distance up there, and you couldn't cut it on a standard by the distance I had to cut. To go halfway up, I wanted to walk out in the highest part. Well, I just got up there and figured out, put my level down here, and cut this one end off till I got it where it come just where I wanted and fit the floor.
Yeah.
Then I took the square and measured. Got the material I was going to use and measured exactly the length of how much I wanted to cut my crotch and how much 7 or 8 inches rise I believe I put on it. I put a 6 or 7 inch rise to it. And that's what I wanted to cut my material. I believe it figured out about 7 inches rise that I had. And I wanted so many steps to come right up at the top. And I had to figure all that out and just how to cut it.
Yeah.
See, I couldn't cut it on a regular scale, but the distance I had. I had to cut it in the material I was using that we had there for me to use. I had to figure that too, you see. I figured that out and put them in. I had it all fixed up and always put in here. And Dad come walking in that night. He began to look up at it, you see. And I knew I'd done a good job on it. And all he ever said to me, he said, well, he said, he's done pretty well. He said, I won't have to get a carton to do that now. And that's what I never would forget. That's all he ever said to me, you know, said he did pretty well.
Now,
and
you didn't paint people didn't paint the houses for a long time, Mr. Lee.
No, I'll tell you what, so that was a new house, and a lot of people painted them. But I paid a good painter to paint it. I told Dad, I said, I'll pay for that paint. I had a good gun that the fellow wanted, a little 22 Smith & Wesson pistol.
Yeah.
He said he'd paint that house for you.
By George.
And I said, put 3 coats of paint on it, and he was good.
Yeah.
And I acted foolish. And I'm going to tell you, he was from Tennessee. And he got my gun, and my dad bought 30 gallons of paint for him to paint. He figured him up and everything, and he left and sold a lot of Dad's paint and took my gun and didn't paint the house. Very seldom anybody do that back in those days.
Yeah.
But this fella did that.
Well, he just skinflint, wasn't he?
Now, a fella that he is working for, I think he was in that, too. He painted here. He took my dad's paint back and swapped it and got some paint for to paint wagons with and different things. He painted his wagon and worked for that man, you see, and I think he used a lot of Dad's paint on that. We got part of paint, but it wasn't enough to start to paint the house there.
Well,
but he got my gun. I wouldn't have sold a gun, but that was a heck of a price for that,
know,
to getting that house painted for it. That's the reason I was trading with him.
You know, in them days, you trusted people, Mr. You
Oh, yeah, you take
care. You didn't figure, now, this man.
You can't do that now. You can't start to do that now.
You wouldn't say, now, this man might beat me. I'm just going to hold on to this gun until he gets sued. You never would do that.
No, you didn't have to back then. Hardly ever. You didn't want to beat you.
No.
But you take a... sometimes, Ed, fellas, that way, I don't know. I guess I'd have done it too, probably been way off from home and wanted to went back home. I probably would too, but I don't think I would. I never did. I never did have to do anything like that. I went hungry, but and I worked for 2 weeks from a board off that way, but I never did.
I didn't beat nobody. You didn't get your house painted then?
No, we didn't get it painted then. They painted it later.
But you didn't.
But that was hard pine. You didn't have to paint it much.
That's it.
Yeah. It's hard pine, you know. And they'll just last on and on. And if you paint them, it makes them look a lot better. But if you get too strong, well, see, that wasn't turpentine. And you had to let it stay there a long time before, if you didn't, if the rosin would make the paint peel off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't paint them when you first built them. If you did, out of that good hard pine we had up there. And we'd have to watch it, and if it showed too much heart in it, we couldn't put that board up, you know. If it did, you couldn't paint it.
It's pretty not painted.
Now, if you don't, it was pretty dead.
Oh, you know, I don't think there's anything nicer than just weathered wood.
I don't either.
Well, you take
in good wood now, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
It's in good shape, but just weathered.
After I came to Florida, now I went back up there and I turned and drove to the old home place in Winston County. Drove in there and there wasn't a road just filled up going down.